Jonah chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the further off, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. It shall be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellows, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. We will end our reading at the verse 10 of this chapter, knowing that God will bless to every heart the reading of his word. Well, let us just, with our Bible open before us, let us unite our hearts in prayer, and pray that God will speak to each one of us in the closing seconds of our gospel meeting. Let us all pray. Our gracious Father, we thank thee again this evening for everything that our ears have heard. We bless thee for the clarion call of thy Spirit through the hymns that we have been singing and the messages and song that our ears have heard. We thank thee that thou art speaking to hearts. And Father, we pray in the closing moments of our meeting that thy blessed Spirit will continue to do his work. We thank thee that we are not resting upon the ability or the inability of man, but we praise thee for the third person of the Trinity, who is able to bring life to those who are dead, who is able to bring liberty to those who are imprisoned by sin, and is able to bring joy in the place of sorrow. Our Father, we pray that salvation will visit thy people tonight, manifest thy power, hide us completely behind the cross. For this is thy word. This is the word that thou hast given to us. We pray that it may come as from thyself, and grant that no man may be seen save Jesus only. For we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. During the months that have gone into eternity, each one of us who have gathered in this gospel meeting have been the recipients of a very high and of a very tragic rate of inflation. I am sure that each one of us who view the situation right across the world are greatly distressed as we see the economical situation going from bad to worse. Many are the economists who try to tell us that things are not really too bad, that day by day there seems to be a glimmer of light on distant horizon. But as I study God's word, I believe that in this, the end time, things shall wax worse and worse. And these things that are happening, I believe, are clearly recorded in the inspired and the infallible word of God. Men of every nation, they try to reason out the answer to these terrible problems. I do not want to sound presumptuous tonight, but I believe that I have the answer not only to the problems of the United Kingdom, but I believe also to the problems of your great country, America. And that answer is very simply in the words of the text: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. And a nation that seeks God, a nation that gives Jesus Christ the preeminence, I believe will be richly and mightily blessed of the Lord. And as we see the spiritual declension, we see our nations paying the fare of their own disaster. And could I say tonight very simply but very sincerely that it does cost men and women to travel on the road to a Christless eternity. I know that some people may argue against that statement, and they may say quite openly, but it does not cost the unsaved to go to hell. But I say in the Bible that contrary is the case, that as men and women live without Jesus Christ, as they rebel against the great offer of the gospel, I see them to be paying the fare. This was demonstrated in the life of Jonah the great prophet, how that God had told him to go and to cry against the city of Nineveh. But Jonah did something that I believe men and women in this gospel service are attempting to do, and that is he endeavored to run away from God. Oh yes, he was hearkening, and indeed he heard the truth of God to his heart. But as soon as he heard that commandment to go to Nineveh, his first reaction was to run away from God. Dear unsaved one tonight, I believe that you too have been in that position. You have been trying to escape from the challenge of the gospel of Christ. You have been trying so desperately and with great determination to flee from the issues of God's great eternity. But the Bible that I believe in without fear and without apology tells me that your sin will find you out. And Jonah's sin was undoubtedly found out. But the tragedy is this, that in verse 3 of this first chapter, we read the words that he paid the fare thereof. And tonight, very simply, I want to mention some things that you as a sinner, that you as a Christ rejecter, are paying as you travel the road to a Christless eternity. The first thing that I want you to notice is the fact that you pay by an unblessed life. I do not believe that a person who rejects the offer of salvation can testify of a life that is richly blessed of the Lord. Oh, I know that there may be temporal mercies that God in His sovereign grace and in His eternal purpose bestows upon the unsaved. But as far as the spiritual joy and the spiritual blessing and the spiritual peace of His great salvation, the unbeliever or the unsaved has not a part. For what does the Bible say? The Bible says very clearly, if ye walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you. In other words, if you rebel against me, then the full weight and the full wrath and the full spirit of my indignation will be directed toward your soul. If ye walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you. Oh, I trust, dear unsaved one, about the solemnity of such a statement and the reality of it as well will penetrate into your heart as you walk against God. I say to you tonight on the authority of His truth that God in a great measure walks against you. But then can I say to you secondly that not only do you pay by an unblessed life, but you also pay by the expenditure of time, I would throw out this challenge to this meeting, and I would say to every man and every woman who was saved over the age of 45 to testify to the fact that they wasted their time in those previous years. How often I have heard the testimony of individuals who have said so sincerely, "How I wish I had been saved many years ago. My life was wasted. My time was squandered on the pleasures of this world. And I found that I was paying the fare by the expenditure of time. All the folly, all the dark path, all the tragic way that the unbelievers walk as they spend their time in the pleasures that satisfy not, as they spend their time embracing those things that can bring no peace." The hymn writer penned it so beautifully when he said, "Fairest flowers, they soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. Oh, we have not long to stay. Be in time, be in time." And dear unsaved one, I urge you tonight, I plead with you in my Savior's great name that you will be in time. And don't spend time foolishly. And don't spend those years in the pleasures that the devil has planned for you. Turn to Jesus Christ tonight. Turn to the one who is able and indeed ready to break the power of counsel sin and to set the prisoner free. The unsaved pay the price of their time. But could I also say to you that the unsaved pay the price of their labor. You see, many are the hard workers in society who squander their money in the pleasures of the world. I know of many families and many fathers who work so hard and so zealously to keep up their family, and yet when it comes to the weekend, they are found in the bar or in the public house, as we call it, and there they are found drinking the alcoholic liquor that I believe the devil motivates them to do. And the money and the hard-earned finances that they have put into their pocket, and they spend it to try and satisfy a crave that will never be satisfied with drink. Others are the men who gamble, and they spend their labor in the gambling den. And the bookmaker, he reaps the benefit of their folly. He draws in the profit of their ungodly spirit. And as they throw over the counter their money, they find themselves not only materially poor, but alas, they find themselves spiritually in poverty. Dear unsaved one tonight, I say to you solemnly and soberly that in hell the drunkard will be there, but there will be no drinking. In hell the gambler will be there, but there will be no gambling. In hell the dancer will be there, but there will be no dancing. And I feel that the agony and the torment and the awful pain to be found in a Christless hell and still have the craving for these pleasures that will never be satisfied must pass the comprehension of the human mind. Maybe that tonight is your position, found entangled in these things. And you say within your own heart, "How I long to be delivered. How I would long to have broken those chains of drink. How I would long to have broken those chains of gambling. I have tried so hard. I have tried so desperately, but I am still paying the fare." Oh, my dear friend, without Christ, you can never break that power of sin off yourself. You may try to do it. You may try it with sincerity. You may try it with great earnestness of heart. But there is only one person, there is only one path that you can travel that will save that eternal soul. And that is to the Christ of the cross. to the blessed man of sorrows? Will you let him into your heart tonight? Will you turn to that place that our dear sister was singing about just a few moments ago, to the wondrous cross at Calvary? And those who would survey the blessed Savior dying in that agony and in that ignominy on the tree, I ask you to accept him, to accept this offer, to accept this great salvation that is found in him. Don't pay the price of your labor, dear unsaved one. But then can I also say to you that many a sinner pays the price of their health. Oh, I know today, in this permissive society, it is almost treated with great contempt when one speaks out against the declining morals of the Western nations. Oh, we are told we are living in a modern society. We are told that we're living in a day when men and women should be free to exchange husbands and to enter into relationships that are not of God. But I believe in my heart that in generations to come, if the Lord does tarry, that we're going to reap in our families and in the generations to come those terrible and those awful diseases that are being germinated tonight because of sin. We think of the awful sin of homosexuality that is licensed in many parts of Europe. And what does it mean? It means that disease blights society. It means that wickedness prevails in the streets. It means that darkness rules in the hearts of men. And they spend their time in failing health. Well, I would say to you, dear young person tonight, don't trifle with sin. Oh, don't think it to be a glamorous thing. The devil will certainly try to impress it upon you that it is. But the Bible says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Oh, be careful, young people. As the devil would put pressure upon you, as he would try to saturate, as he would try to govern your mind, I say to you, be careful. Be careful that you don't spend your time in failing health. Many a sinner pays the price in failing health. But then perhaps most of all, the thing that costs the sinner as he travels the road to hell is the fact that he loses his soul. The Bible tells me that after death, there comes the judgment. And the man or woman, the boy or girl who has reached the years of accountability, who die without Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I say this with great sorrow upon my heart, I believe them to be lost irretrievably in a Christless hell. Oh, I know they may be moral in the eyes of men. I know that their respectability may be not questioned by society. But if they have turned their back against Jesus Christ and they have said, I will not have this man to rule over me, then I believe that they will languish in the depths of an eternal torment. And they will pay the fare. They will pay the price by the losing of their own soul. It costs, dear sinner friend, I want you to get it tonight, it costs you to travel on the road to hell. But finally, and very briefly, and our time is almost gone, I want you to notice that it costs to travel the road to heaven. And when I speak of that cost, I speak not of what it costs the individual believer, but I speak of what it costs the blessed darling of the Father's bosom. Oh, do come with us now, just in the remaining seconds of our service, to that old rugged cross at Calvary. I would point you there. I cannot point you to our church. I cannot point you to the preacher tonight. I cannot point you even to our dear, beloved brother, Dr. Paisley. But I must point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I must point you to the cross at Calvary. Will you look there, dear sinner friend? For on that cruel tree, the full wrath of a righteous God, a holy and immutable and eternal God, that wrath was outpoured upon His Son in order that you and I, who are justified by faith, may be found acceptable in our Father's presence. Oh, the great mystery, surely, of the gospel message is this, that God should so be pleased to bruise His own Son. I can't understand it. I would love to be able to try and explain it to you, but when one is faced with the great mystery, when one is confronted with the great reality that God was so pleased to bruise His own Son, we can only stand back in awesome wonder and thank God that He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. It doesn't cost me to travel the road to heaven in the salvation sense, but it cost the Lord Jesus Christ, who even tonight bears the marks of that cruel tree. Upon His hands those marks are still to be seen. His side still bears the mark of the Roman spear, and His feet still bear the marks of the nails that nailed Him to the cross. His back still bears the marks of that terrible lashing that wicked and evil men performed against Him. And in heaven tonight, those who enter there, they know Him by the nail prints in His hands. How do I know He still bears those marks? I know it because it says in God's Word that after the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, He said to doubting Thomas to thrust in His hand into the Savior's side. This he did. He believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Let me ask you in closing a very personal and yet a very simple but a very serious question. I want you to answer it tonight in your heart. Why will you go to hell, dear sinner friend, whenever Jesus Christ has paid it all? Why will you die in your sin? Why will you taste of this terrible agony in hell? Why will you go down into the depths prepared for the devil and his angels? Whenever Jesus Christ has unlocked the door of God's great salvation, that you may enter in. You stood outside these many years, although God has spoken to you, challenged your heart, revealed Himself to you, yet you've stood outside, and yet tonight He still knocks. Will you come to Him? Will you unlock the door? And will you let Him in? I trust that you will remember those two simple thoughts tonight. That it costs you to travel the road to a Christless hell. But it costs Jesus Christ everything in order that you might travel the road to heaven. May God save you if you're not saved. And I pray if you are saved tonight, that we might bow our hearts before God and cry out, "If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Thank you for listening so attentively. I trust that if the Lord spares you, you'll join with us again tomorrow night. You'll bring someone with you if you're a believer. Bring someone who is not saved to the gospel meeting, that they too may hear that Jesus Christ saves and that He wonderfully satisfies. May God bless you. And may God save you tonight.